Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB.
Here we go, folks. Another episode, the Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB. Can I say, I've never been more tempted to crack a beer while doing this than I am today.
Ooh, I'd like a bubbly right now.
We're recording this at 9:30 a.m. We've been up for long enough.
That's the thing. I actually knocked off yesterday. Where was I? And someone said, what, you finished work for the day? And I said, mate, I get up at 4 a.m. This is my 5 o'clock. And he goes, it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world. I went, ha, 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 give me a beer. That's where I was, at the faux Vietnamese place. I'm like, give me a big tiger beer. Thanks.
That's enough. One beer for me. Guess what? Well, I was heading home, so it was 11 o'clock yesterday. I'm in my ute. By the time I get home, I check my phone. There's a Snapchat from bloody Willie P from the Northern Pride.
Hello.
Snapchatting me in my car, going, "Ooh, already knocking off. Must be nice."
Like, don't you?
I replied and said, "What were you doing at 3:30 this morning, Willie P? You bloody sleeping?
Bludger.
You bloody sleeping, mate." But welcome again to another Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB. It's been fun. It's sort of our way to knock off, relax, kick back, get a bit more. Buck Wild, head of the weekend. First of all, let's review our week in full. How was your week, Tam?
Can I say out of work week?
Mm.
Yeah, it was good. Mm. It went quick this week. I felt like last week dragged out for me. This week was great. Super organized. We had a lot of good laughs, as we do. What I loved about this work-wise is I feel like we had so many, like our callers, they are so on board with the things that we are doing. We have people we've never met before, but they're calling up, and the way they talk to us, it's like they really know us.
Yeah.
And that means a lot to me. We've worked hard to get to that point, and I really value our listeners.
It's a tricky thing to figure out in my life, because you're talking, and those people that listen every day, they know us. They listen every day, but we've never met them. And sometimes there's certain blokes, and do you know how you throw banter with like your good mates? And sometimes I'll come across someone I've never met before, and they start throwing shit at me. I'm like, oi.
Yeah.
Who are you, mate?
Yeah.
Get a bit like, oi, you want to, show the time?
Yeah,
but
it was good.
But it is nice. It is really good. My week, it's been just a bit of a weird one. This, and I've carried on about it to you a lot, this bloody tooth.
Mm.
It's just a bear with a sore tooth I've been this week, but it was good. I actually got it sore, and I spoke about it on air a little bit, but went to the dentist and had this like good-looking Scottish lady. She was my dentist.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I got distracted because the lady in the chair put my sunnies on. I was watching Bluey. Got right into watching Bluey. And basically had to go get x-rays, and I've got to go and get day surgery. So I don't know what that means for a radio announcer, because a lot of people are like, oh, you miss a day and you'll be right. I'm like, that's all well and good, but you can get away with talking weirdly
mumbling
for a little while.
Mm.
I can't. If I'm on there drooling on the mic and if I'm on painkillers, imagine the crap I'm like.
I come out with
crap all the time.
It's
and
not
I'm,
happening.
And I'm painkiller free.
The boss has already said that I'm in charge of the desk, because if you start dropping some crazy naughty words, I've got to press that dump button. And if anyone doesn't know, since you and I've been together, we haven't had to press the dump button.
Yeah, we pressed it once.
Did we?
Pressed it once. I played back a bit of audio, and it was about a bloke that was hiking somewhere. He spotted an animal somewhere here in Cairns, and I didn't get a chance to listen through the whole video, and I was playing it.
Ooh,
and he dropped an F-bomb.
That's right, yes.
So what the dump button is, for those at home, is we operate in an 8-second delay. So I hit a button before we start the show, and that actually puts us in an 8-second delay. And so if I hit that dump button during the show, it brings us back to live and deletes so the last 8 seconds don't go on air. So if someone drops an F-bomb, I can delete the last 8 seconds before there's children heading to work and they hear someone dropping big ones.
I'm going to bring a story up next week. I had a moment where I should have pressed the dump button when I was on my own a couple of years back.
What and word I did you play?
Didn't.
What did you play?
F word.
You dropped an F word on
I
the
show. I didn't know one of the guys, we were playing Beat the Bowser.
And he celebrated.
Won like $400. Yeah, it was from up Mossman Way, Gelatin. And he said the F word, but it was like, did he just say that? Did he not? And I didn't press the button. Anyway, I was so worried. I told all the bosses and they were like, look, we'll let this one slide. It's fine. He goes, there's a difference. If someone was going, that effing politician, like aggro, that's when. But it was excitement. It was early. We did. Yeah, anyway,
it
I didn't get the sack.
You're on the Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB.
All right, Tammy, before we get into our caller of the week, a big topic that we spoke about on the show was, of course, should there be lifeguards at freshwater swimming holes? Really interesting debate on this one at the moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of thought could and should go into this. You brought up really good points. The amount of deaths have occurred, 3 in a year at Crystal Cascades. And that stat you had on Babinda Boulders over 20 or so years was fascinating. Yeah,
well, since 1965, but 21 people have died there. So it's and you look at the beaches and the stats are a lot lower and they're patrolled. Are the stats a lot lower because they're patrolled? Perhaps, perhaps not. But what's more dangerous, our freshwater swimming holes or our beaches? Where are there more people swimming, at our freshwater swimming holes or our beaches? I think the answer for both of those is probably the freshwater swimming holes.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's many times of the year that we can't swim at the beaches and people aren't frequently those. With the kind of rainfall that we have up here and the way that our creeks and riverways and gorges flow especially, there's a lot of danger around that. And I just don't think the education is there enough right now.
Yeah, but the education is there. The locals know. We all know. People in Cairns seem to be pretty well aware, I think.
I don't think enough, though. Yeah. I don't think so. I definitely don't think so. I think more needs to be done in that space.
Yeah, and well, it's probably a fair point. This is one of those debates where I can see every side of it, and I'm struggling to form an opinion on. I don't have a strong stance on this one, and I'd tell you if I did. But more people are swimming at these freshwater swimming holes. But then on the other hand, if there's a sign that says "don't swim" and people swim, like how much can we help people? Yep. Like how much, like what responsibility are people going to take for their own life and their own safety? And do like we can't wrap everyone in cotton wool and keep them alive. Should a sign be enough?
No, I think we need more. And that's where these campaigns and strategies come around it. So I think if this is happening, I think our council needs to look at doing more.
Yeah, and I think it could be something even at a state level. And you raise a good point about national parks and where they sort of sit and where the funding had come from, because that's a whole other element. It's the funding of this thing. We can't just have people at all of our swimming spots without them being paid to
Absolutely.
Do so.
And also volunteers, like they might not be up to scratch.
And what has to happen as well is they're very different. A freshwater swimming hole and the skill set you need to be able to rescue someone from that compared to at the beach, they're completely different. So these people need to be specialised. So if we're going to have people at Crystal Cascades, they need to be specialised and understand how the freshwater creeks work and how they would conduct a rescue and what warnings they need to give people. They need to be good at what they do if it's going to make a difference. But if that's the case, they need to be paid accordingly. And where that money's going to come from is a whole nother kettle of fish. So, yeah, it's and you raise a good point about education. We do radio ads all the time and we always hear things about surf lifesaving. There's TV ads about surf lifesaving.
Absolutely. I'm going to throw this at you. Remember the little red ants, like the fire ants? Look at how much money was spent on them. You look at all the recycle properly, there's all that money. Tell me if there's ads that you can remember about all this kind of waterway activity, swimming and safety.
Yeah, and that would be good. But the issue is with the people that are dying, like this guy was a tourist from overseas. Is he listening to the radio?
Targeted information. Is it at backpackers? Is it at hostels?
Maybe on the plane landing at the international airport.
Is it flyers being handed out? I mean, I just think like they need to look at campaigns and maybe get a think tank group together and go, what needs to be done?
Yeah, I fall in between what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but I also feel like people need to start taking responsibility for their own safety. And if there's a sign, of which there are signs at all these locations, read them, and they're in different languages as well. And if they're not going to, like you got to take responsibility at some point. So, yeah, it's a really interesting one and good points raised by you, Tammy. But we'll wrap it up there. But feel free to send us a message, anything you have to say when it comes to freshwater lifeguards. Pretty interesting stuff.
You're on the Knock Off Podcast with Tammy and JB.
So caller of the week, it came to the Chook Lotto, and it's really nice. We had Rani on. We called her Marnie all morning.
The whole morning.
We misheard her at the start, and I think I said her name like 10 times.
Marnie? She goes, yeah. Marnie. So we called her Marnie.
So we went with Marnie flat stick, and so you know what? You're Marnie now. But she called up and said that she was taking her son in for surgery, and he's just getting his tonsils out. Nothing super serious or anything like that. But she called up and said her husband's taking care of their other two kids. He can't cook whatsoever. So she wanted to win the Big Red Feast.
And she was also a new caller to the show as well. So it's nice when people call in and get involved and share that part of their story with us.
Yeah, and then we had a bunch of other people call up and said, hey, I'm here for the Chocolato, but give my entry to Rani. And so what eventuated was Gary actually was drawn out. His number one, the Chocolato, except because he donated it to Rani, we gave her a call and spoke to her about it. And it was after the show that you actually got a call from Red Rooster, Damon.
Yeah, a guy called Damon Caldwell. He owns the Mount Sheridan Rain Trees Red Rooster. And he said, you know what, Tam, I was trying to get through to you and JB before the show'd finished, but I really want to also give another Big Red Feast so Gary could enjoy it, because I found it so heartfelt that he did that. So we had a couple of extras on our hands.
Yeah, and so we spoke to Gary, and this is the conversation of us giving him that extra Big Red Feast.
Yeah, guys, it's Gary here.
Yeah.
I just want to thank Tammy for that lovely message she sent me about me getting that Chocolato,
the Red Chocolato Rooster. Yeah, the team from Red Rooster was so touched by your donation to Rani. We called her Marnie, but it's Rani, that they also want you to have the Big Red Feast.
I was touched by it. So what I'm doing with that is I've got a friend who's got a family who's a little bit low on stuff, so I'm going to pass it on to them.
Oh, mate, you're a legend. And see, that's what we like to hear. It's really nice when people like yourself, you gave back without expecting anything in return, and they're the people that deserve it. So good on you, Gary.
No, thank you so much, and love you guys very much. And oh, Tammy, have a good night tonight down at the Pink concert.
Thanks, Gary. Yeah, I can't wait to rock out with Pink. And listen,
how do you reckon she'll go on Monday, Gary? What do you think?
She'll be a legend on Monday.
She'll be all right. Yeah, she'll still be up
there. Shaking the hips and the shoulders, Gary.
I reckon it'll be one of two ways. Tammy will either be like, woo, let's go, or she'll be like, hello, I had a lot of fun. Either way, we'll have a good show. Good on you, Gary.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
And so as you can hear there, he's giving the bloody thing away again. So
it's like, we tried to give him two. Passing it on.
We tried to give him two Big Red Feet. I'm starting to think he doesn't like Red Rooster.
Or he's a very generous man.
Or just a really good. I think he is just a good, wholesome man. But I want to. I don't know what more we need to do, but I want to get him a Big Red Feast.
Yeah, or maybe say, what do you want?
Yeah, Gary? What do you want, Gary?
Can we send him to the movies or something? It's
help
nice.
Me help you. Something I wanted to share as well on air is a little look behind the scenes as well. Just JB's jerky. We haven't spoken about it too much, but watch this space when we return. Yeah, just so you know, JB's jerky, because this is where you get a bit of a lucrative look at the planning phases of the breakfast show. And JB's jerky, I'll say this.
Are you cooking up something extra special?
Nate, something is a cooking up. And if you've always wanted to make your own jerky, we got prizes. I'll say this. I went and spoke to the jerky and nut shop yesterday.
Yeah.
And she's 100% on board.
Gosh,
we
good.
Spoke to Harvey she's Norman. Good. And Harvey Norman are 100% on board.
Shit, mate, you're giving away a little bit too much.
Things are ticking off, folks. So keep an eye out. We have a break after Easter, but then we're back on air. But that's enough for now. Make sure you keep listening to the Knockoff Podcast. We'll keep dropping little bits of info on that one. But now it's time for the story we couldn't share on air.
You're on the Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB.
JB, I have been sitting on two sides of the fence whether or not I do share this on air. And I've decided not to, but I want to share it in this forum with you. You and I have spoken about this off air, and I want to be careful how this comes across, because I don't want to seem like I'm a bitter woman that doesn't have children of my own. But remember this conversation I brought it up to you. What is it with it that pregnant women do maternity shoots and they wear those raunchy, flowing, almost see-through white outfits,
standing in a sunflower field?
I'm a grown woman, and I feel like constantly these women do these shoots, and I think their bodies look beautiful. I love the pregnant bellies, but why the hell is it that the uniform, the outfit, the costume that they wear are these, like, almost virgin-like?
They got the flower on their head, and they're like, in all white. I'm like, you ain't a saint. We know what you did. We know. We've put two and two together.
What's the origins of this outfit? Why do they always wear these flowy, freaky white outfits?
Well, I don't know the outfits. Maternity shoots are completely normal, and I would understand if my wife were to fall pregnant, if she wanted to get a maternity shoot. But to me, that's a private, beautiful memory. And I know down the line, you'd probably want to look back and be like, that's when I was pregnant with our son, who's now a man,
yes,
or our daughter, who's now 25 years old. And it would be nice to look back on. What triggers me is the sharing on social media, because that's what does my head in with this sort of stuff. Like, are you doing it for a nice memory to look back on? Or are you just doing it because you want to, I don't know, for I don't know, people to like your Facebook page? I don't know what the point is.
I kind of really want to dig to the bottom of why the outfits, and I'm for it, go and get all the photos, but
where do you buy them? Where do you
exactly
shop?
Is there like a pregnancy website that you get these weird flowy, and it's like the big belly flows out and you get these granny
got
ugly
the knickers
white
on
undies on and this flowy thing. I just don't get it, and I didn't want to bring it on air because I know that people would probably come at me and
Think of the farmers, because they're always doing this on someone's land. Imagine if you're old Bob the potato farmer, you know, oi!
You sexy pregnant lady.
Sexy pregnant lady's back on the yard.
We laughed about it. So what if she's posing there and all of a sudden this big wild pig comes out of the cane field? Tell you what, Doug, you'd be running.
In the background of the maternity shoot, there's old mate on his on his harvester looking over confused. Yeah. That's the shots.
Anyway, I just wanted to beef that out with you because I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. It's confusing. Send us a message, Triple M Cairns Facebook or Instagram,
you
if you want to.
The origins of
that. If you can tell us where to buy these frocks, so to speak.
You're on the Knock Off Podcast with Tammy and JB.
Our weekend plans, Tam.
Hello, Cairns. I am flying to Townsville. I did want to do the road trip. My darling friend Jackie and I, we used to run singles parties in Townsville and drive down on my Mini Cooper many years ago. But she said, no, Tam, let's cut out time. We are flying. So we're flying to Townsville tomorrow with Qantas. We're going to Pink at the Queensland Country Bank Stadium. And I tell you what, I've got my outfit ready, as I've told you. We're going to have a couple of bevvies before and after. And I'm really excited. And can I be honest? I think I'm just as excited to see Tones and I as I am to see Pink.
Tones and I is good. She's good live too. I've seen a heap of her. I think I might have seen her at a festival once. I wasn't deep into it, and she was pretty just coming onto the scene. But it'll be a cracking festival, and we're chatting about this, about there's a lot of people that are like, oh, who gives a crap about Pink, yada, yada, yada. Fair enough. I'm not the hugest Pink fan. I'm not going to the concert. I don't care. But you got to respect what it brings to the region.
And how talented she is as an artist.
Oh, you got to give her a bit of credit on that. Like, she's succeeded for how many years? This is the most tickets sold for a live female artist
all time
ever,
in Australia.
Ever
and
in
Zealand.
Australia. So, like, pat on the back, good on you. I don't want to go to the concert, so I'm not going to the concert.
Have you ever seen her?
Pink, no, not for me. Yeah. Not for me. I don't mind one or two of her songs, but just not my crowd, not for me. But that stadium sold out two nights in a row.
It did.
Is huge for the city of Townsville. It's huge for North Queensland. That now that puts on the map that some of these artists will be heading up here. I want nothing more than to see Barlow Park upgraded to the point where we here in Cairns, because I think we have a bigger draw card for these big artists. I think there'll be more artists with interest to come to a place like Cairns than Townsville. And I love Townsville, don't get me wrong, but I think if we have that infrastructure, I think this proves they've had an origin now. They've got Pink now. And off the back of this, there'll be more artists. And yeah, I think we've got to show a bit of respect to how good this is for that city and for our region. And I think it'll bring more.
There's a lot of Cairns people going down for it. Mm. And not just from Cairns, Port Douglas, Mossman, Tableland. So there you go. There's a need for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'll have that little slide dig again.
What are you doing this weekend?
F all, and I could not be more excited for it. I had to think about going to Pink because I think I could get my hands on a ticket or two. I was like, oh, I could do the trek down, see family, but you got to say no to things sometimes. And we're like, the last few weeks have been busy. Like last week had the Pride and we had an outside broadcast and had the mother-in-law here. Week before that was a Bucks weekend. Week before that, Survivor Golf. Week before that, was doing something else. So it was my wife's 30th, so it's been flat stick, and I'm just that pumped to have a weekend of doing nothing. Tonight, there's footy on. My wife's working late. She's not done till 9. I've got a crumb steak ready at home. I've got chips ready. I'm going to whip up my own Diane sauce. I'm going to get some beers from McAllister. I'm going to sit. I'm going to plonk my ass in front of that TV and watch two games of rugby league, talk to no one, eat my crumb steak, and I am genuinely that excited for it.
I just love how you have made it such an event of doing nothing.
Yeah, that's
that you've made so much out of
it's
nothing.
It's just such,
it's
huge.
It's heaven for you.
Yeah, this is my absolute heaven, and I'm going to turn my phone off, not even going to look at it.
And what about Saturday, Sunday? Have you got any plans other than footy as well? Like, you literally have nothing locked in.
Nothing locked in for a weekend.
You are a planner.
Oh, yeah. There is nothing locked in this weekend.
Good.
And I am just jacked for it. Saturday, I'll go on. I'll figure out something.
Just wait. There's got to be a game of golf in there somewhere.
I'm playing golf today, yeah.
Oh, are you?
And I'll see how the weather's doing. I'll probably sneak another one in Sunday. But, yeah, otherwise, then there's we're going into Easter. Got a big weekend then.
We've
there's
got Easter
big
off
Tim
as
Zoo
well.
Fight next weekend. And so I'll probably go to the pub on Easter, watch Tim Zoo fight, get into that. And
Easter Sunday?
Yeah, there's a fight.
Is it open on Easter Sunday?
Well, I think so. Good Friday's the day everything closed. That's true. The no drinking day. But I think Easter Sunday, well, it's on pay-per-view and it's Tim Zoo fighting. So it's a big fight. Yeah, so wow. I reckon the pub's all. I reckon the puzzle we got.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to check that. I wouldn't be surprised if you're right.
I'll suss it out. Mm. We'll see. I'll find out if there's a will, there's a way. Otherwise, I'll pay-per-view it. JB's Pub is open for business. Send me a message. Find me on Instagram. I'll have a shindig at home. $6.80 a schooner is my price.
Bargain?
No. Not at all.
BYO people.
But that is the weekend plans. I'm pumped for it, and I hope you have a great weekend. We'll
Thank
recap
you,
Pink on the show come Monday morning. All right, here she is, folks. Please welcome in Cody the Roadie. Hey, buddy.
Hello, how are we?
Good
We're
night.
Good, darling. You just finished your first week with us, being our roadie. How did you go? Did you enjoy it?
Week one was nothing but fun. I met some really great people and I put a smile on the dial, so bring on the rest of the roadies.
Good girl. That's good. It is a big deal coming in and doing this. And sometimes people think, like, just because you can talk, it comes natural. But was it one of those things that, like, talking to people in public is one thing, but then talking over the road and giving your point, like, how did you find that?
Yeah, look, I found it okay. Obviously, practice makes perfect, but it will come to me.
No, you're doing a great job. And we were genuinely talking about some of the little skills that you have that take a lot of learning, and some of the things that people can't learn, you got them. So you've done a genuinely good job. I love throwing shit at you and I don't like being nice all the time, but we spoke about it.
And you gave it back really well, which is good. And there's a fine line for that. So well done.
Yeah, I want to open that up. Hurl shit at me hard. I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Don't be afraid. Okay. Don't be afraid. Nothing's off limits. But, Cody, Molly's away this week, so we need our range for what Monday's Beat the Bowser will be at.
All right, drum roll, please.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ching.
Anywhere between $70 and $90.
That's all right.
$70 and $90. Okay, cool.
$70 and $90. So, you know, it'll conk out somewhere in that $20 range.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what was it? Monday we had someone, they said they listened.
I know.
But they dropped, I think they took $67 and
who
it got up to 100
that?
And something.
You know who it was? It was Kim. She's one of our regulars and she was graduating from uni and she said she listened to the Knockoff podcast.
I don't believe it.
I don't reckon she did.
I don't believe it. Otherwise, she wouldn't have stopped at that low.
Push higher. Cody, thank you for that.
All right, thank you. I'll go back to my office now and douse myself in admin.
In admin? That sounds horrible. Have fun. Yeah. One day you'll make the big times and you don't have to do it anymore. So we hope to be there for the retirement for admin for you.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
and happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. That rounds us out. That is the Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB. Make sure you subscribe to Tammy and JB on Listener. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Good Friday next week. So we're not knocking off podcasting. We're doing the big Easter egg hunt Thursday, by the way. So if you're listening, 28th Thursday, be down there at Cairns Central. We got thousands up for grabs. We'll chat to you then.
You're on the Knockoff Podcast with Tammy and JB.